Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafer, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Genesis, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me. Help me. Help me, Lord. Genesis 26. Verse 1. And there was famine in the land, beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him, said, Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee. I will bless you, for unto you and your seed I will give all these countries. Who did God promise countries? One man. Hold that thought. And I will perform the oath that I spoke unto your father Abraham. I will make your seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto your seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be what? They shall be blessed. Because that Abraham, this is the reason, because that Abraham did what? He obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandment, my statutes, and my law. So Isaac did what? He dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, She's my sister. For he feared to say she's my wife, lest said the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was beautiful. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech the king of Philistine looked out a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was potting with his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, Behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. How seest thou she is my sister? And Isaac said, Because I don't want to die. And Abimelech said, What is it that thou hast done unto us? One of the people might have slept with your wife, and would have brought this guilt upon all of us. And Abimelech charged the people, saying, He that toucheth this man or his wife shall be put to death. Then Isaac sold in that land, and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And this man waxed great, speaking of Isaac. He went forward, grew until he became very great. For he had possession of flocks, and the possession of herds, and a great store of servants. And the Philistines, what? Envied him. Put that somewhere. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar. I'm talking about valley experiences now, wilderness experiences, and dwelt there. Isaac digged again the wells of water. You see proficiency, the ability to dig. If you have it, you have it. Take away the owner of Ford company, say, take away the company, take away everything. Give me a few years, I'll be back. You understand? Don't just run, learn the how-tos. So wherever you are, you can tell, I just need 1, 2, 3 things, and I'm back on my feet. Don't just pray and see prayers answered. Learn how they are answered. Find out, Lord, why did you answer that prayer? What was the thing in that prayer? Learn. Ask questions. And Isaac dig again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called the names after the names which his father had called them. There's something there. Leave it. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there what? What did they find? A well of spring water, reflective of the presence of the Holy Spirit. A fresh water in the valley. Fresh flowing water in the valley. He's always there with you. Amen. God is always there with you. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive. See warfare. after every major experience, after every major experience with God, the next person you see is the devil. After every time, after calling down fire, the first person that Elijah saw was not the king saying, God bless you, man of God. It was Jezebel.
Yeah.
After every major spiritual victory,
yeah,
the next visitor is still the devil.
Yeah.
And he digged another well. Oh, verse 20. And the headmen of Gerar strived with Isaac's headmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek. For those of you looking for a name of a company, I just gave you one. Esek. Esek Consulting. Esek Incorporated. Right. That's what does it mean? Say, don't worry. You're not going to get it in a lifetime. Just call Esek. 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 And it, and they dig another well, and they strove for that. There's going to be warfare. And he called the name of that one Sitna. And he removed from thence. You have to learn the power of retreat. You know when we say we are going on retreat, workers retreat. In those days, sometimes in order for us to advance, we must first retreat. I got here, there was warfare. I got there, there was warfare. I got it from, so he stepped back and assess the situation again. Are we fighting a lost cause? Then God says, no, dig again. Then he goes back and digs again. But what happened this time? He said he digged another way and they could not fight for it. But in order to be able to come into that place, he stepped back into the secret place. He stepped back. This is not Gogbonis. This is not Parakpo. He stepped back. He stepped back. He stepped back. Assess the situation. Do we proceed again? Say yes. Dig another one. Lord, the last one cost us 500,000. Say, do it again. So I just lost two. I said, do it again. The power of instruction. The power of a clear word. When you need to get to that point in your journey where just because you experience something, it doesn't affect your capacity for hearing. Because some of you go to some and you just crash. What happened is what happened. Can we move on, please? Ah, yes, you lost 500,000. You lost. Can you please still hear, move on? To be able to hear God in that realm, your emotions must be disconnected from the voice of God. Because if emotions are easily affected, you just notice you are always is depending on where the breeze is blowing you. That's how you be hearing God. I thought it was God. You didn't. That's the problem. You keep thoughting. You keep thoughting. You keep thinking. You keep thoughting. You've got to disconnect your emotions from the voice of God. God's voice is not limited or bound by the limitations of your emotions. You can fight two times and lose, and God says, stay there, there's a third round.
Yeah.
And the moment he stepped into that thing, invested money in it, and it takes money to build a well. Because whenever you build a well in those days, industry comes around it. Because people need water for their cattle. People need water for stuff. People are building houses. They need water. People are going to pay for it. He just lost two of his companies. And he was like, what is this? What is this? Raka patas. Lord, should we relocate? He said, build another one. Another one. He said, yes, sir. Dug another well and they could not strive for it, and he called the name Rehoboth. And then he said, for now the Lord has now made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in this land.
Hey! Hey!
When you get to this point I'm talking about, the devil can do nothing about you. The devil is just going to have to sit and watch you. He's going to sit and watch you perform. Why? Because of clear instructions coming. Clear instructions coming. Clear instructions coming. You weren't trying to prove a point. You weren't trying to make a name. You initially even, you retreated. You are going to call it off. And then say, where are you going? Build another one. Because now you have learned how to fail. I want to show you how to succeed. Steve Jobs. How many times did he fail? He was kicked out by his own company. I'm not even here to talk about these unbelievers. I'm just telling you. The same spiritual principles.
Yes.
In the spiritual realm, there are principles. Some can be, you can, depending on which side of the divide, you can apply them.
Yes.
His own company that he registered with his own money, the people he brought to heat, voted him out. Just give me a few years, I'll be back. Don't run away from a fight. Don't run away from a fight. When God puts something in your hands and that thing begins to breathe another air and it's giving another signal and you don't know what to be like, ah! When we started this, it was by the word of the Lord. They say once base are shut down, you prayed. You are still praying, the second one shut down. The man of God, are you sure you heard God? Hey? You know, there are some things that happen to you that even you begin to, you don't want to be rude, but in your mind, I say, God, I don't want this kind of play. Because what just happened? The implication is 10 million. And you scream, 10 million. And we're in a recession. We can't afford this. So look at what the spiritual man did. He didn't go running into all the wells that were shut. Why did you shut down my well? Will this thing can be of benefit to the community? Hey, are we not together? Your king is my friend. He didn't negotiate. The first thing he did was to go into the powerhouse and close the door. He shut the door. When you begin to have seasons of conflicting information and revelation that you cannot interpret, it's not the time to go and say, what happened? What happened? What happened? You step back. Lester Sumner, I was watching that story this morning. He has an entire facility. I think he had a TV station that got burnt down.
Yes.
He was coming down from his jet, and the manager said, "Sir, we have a problem. The entire facility is consumed with fire." He just climbed inside the jet again. He said, "Sir," he said, "build on that one." He entered the plane and left. Left them. He didn't go and say, "Take me there now. Take me there now." He just entered the jet. He said, "My sir, sir." He said, "Ah, build that now. Build that now. We are not moving out of here simply because we got a fire. Simply because we have a word to be here. We are not running. Look, tell the devil, bring your best shot. We'll keep building till you lose the capacity to strive with us on this issue. Are going to wear you out. You can't put the devil as hey, it's devil. You tell him, say, oh boy, you go tire. No matter your preaching, I just wanna you go tire. Hey, I'm ready for you. Bring it on. Bring it on. On this matter, bring it on. You don't have to have this defensive, oppressive mindset. And that's why the devil is doing like this. He's doing, trying to push you to the wall. Because once he hits, puts you on the wall, even your resolve to say, in Jesus' name, he can sense the panic in you. He can sense that your resolve is on his lowest level. Speak the word. Which word? Speak the word. All of a sudden, because you see, oh goodness, and a lot of people have lost unnecessary battles. God didn't say you won't lose a battle. He said you have capacity for 7 times. You can fall 7 times, come back and replicate your success.
Yes.
But I'm talking about taking mountains here. You understand? To take mountains, you've got to be operating at a higher level of industry and mindset than the mountain you are supposed to take. I'm just about starting. I took my message from the back first. You can't defeat a system. You can't defeat a system that fits you. Do you hear me? You can't defeat a system that you are not isolated from. All they have to do is pull the plugs. They pull out the plugs, you are out. You are deflated. You understand? God can raise you within a system, but for a Moses to bring Egypt down, he has to come out of that system. But God will allow the resources of Egypt to train him. They will train him in the hand of priesthood, how to be a prince, how to be a king. They taught him to be Pharaoh. They taught him to be Pharaoh. He was an eloquent man. He could do stuff with words. But when it was time for God to use all of that resources that had been put on his inside, all that knowledge, capacity, God took him out of that system. And when he would not leave, God allowed him make a mistake. And here you are trying to just make sure your life, you've got a clean slate. God doesn't do that to people who clean slates. You understand? You are too clean for my liking. God doesn't do stuff with people who don't have a past or a story. Just want to show up and look perfect so that people won't have anything about you. Huh? So you are looking at the system that the Lord is sending you to. This mountain that he wants you to take and to possess for him and crown him on that mountain. You cannot defeat a system that fits you 100%. Don't forget that when Moses came back, he threw his rod on the floor and he became a snake. They thought it was the same magic they taught him. Because for you to be Pharaoh, you must have capacity for magic. Pharaoh is worshipped as God in Egypt. So they tell us one of those cheap tricks. Hey, bro, I got something extra. This snake eats snakes. It doesn't eat food. It eats snakes. That part you didn't teach me. When you have systems that swallow up similar systems that are inferior. When you are sitting at a business table, you are trying to make a presentation, and there are people there who will sit in the car and speak to a horn wrapped around red stuff, and they are coming to that meeting. Oh, good morning. How was your night? They are looking all poised and collected, but at the back of their house, just before they stepped out, they had consulted and negotiated for the deal before they showed up. They negotiated for the deal before they showed. And he just came in. Hey, it's where. God will do it. Which God, please excuse me. Can we please be specific? Because the guy who stayed in his room, in that room that nobody enters except him, had taken the on and spoken some words into the atmosphere and negotiated. And you wonder why everybody just seemed to like the guy on that table. Because everybody on that table thought they were doing the guy just lovable, he was wonderful, the presentation was perfect. I'm not here to go devil on you, I'm just telling you how these things work. Notice, the devil will never allow you access to resources when he knows that you intend to use those resources to bring him down. I repeat, the devil will never allow you access to certain resources when he knows that you intend to use those resources to bring down his kingdom. So you keep doing stuff. You are still the best, but they don't promote you. Because he knows that, depending on where you are sitting in that office, you are key. You could be making some decisions. Huh? You can call some shots. So everybody knows you are good. In fact, the person they promoted will still come and ask, how do we do this? How do you do this? How do you do this? How do you do this? Yeah, your brilliance is not in question, but you can't play ball. That's the problem. Can't play ball. So that's it. You are not flexible enough for us. Since when did my flexibility become an issue on this job? What they are telling is that you can't, where the money is really coming from, you can't play at that level. They are not poised for it. What he does is to shut the doors and channels of grace to you. When the devil wants to restrict you, what he does is he organizes certain circumstances and situations to shut the channels of grace, God's reach to you. And how does he do that? He gets you very busy. You can't wait on him. All those things that define you as a spiritual being, you can't wait on him. You can't fast. You can't pray. You can't meditate. He attacks you emotionally. Somebody just looks at you and just says, why are you so mean? Where is that coming from? People say things to you that make you begin. You spend 2 hours of quality time thinking about what that person said and processing it like, so there are people like this in this office. Who actually think this about me? Somebody came to me and said, you know, I just want to tell you, I don't want you to think like I'm gossiping you. So I said to her, hey, come, stop talking. Why would you think that in the first place? I said, forget about what was said or what was not said. It's irrelevant. But why would you think that? I forgive you. Don't worry. It's whether you did it or not, I forgive you. But where's that thing coming from? That thought. That's my, forget about what you said. People talk. That's what your mouth is meant for. could it be that there's actually a conversation going on? The devil begins to fight the channels of grace, like fellowship, the fellowship of the Spirit, fellowship you enjoy with saints, just sitting down, no music, no sound, just sitting down, just looking at God's word together, or praying and strengthening each other. The devil fights it so that you are just in that fellowship from afar. You can't get it. These are things to watch out for. When you begin to see attacks on these areas, it's because he wants to shut the channels of grace that heaven has made provision for. And when you don't have the channels of grace coming to you, you don't have access to grace, how can you engage on that mountain? Because it's not only God that gives grace. The devil also gives grace. Grace is what? Favor. The devil will advance the cause of anyone who is interested in expanding his own kingdom. So you sing a song, overnight you are a success. Overnight. People just wake up that morning and there's a new name on the block. Look at the guy, nothing so fantastic. He's from Mushi. Hey, deal with it. The guy is rich now. You decide you want to advance the cause of the devil and see what happens to your life in 3 months. You cannot stay in this church again. It's not because of this side, it's because the things you are now fellowshipping with. Your bank, you are fellowshipping with your bank account.
Yes.
I don't know if you are with me. Stay with me. Ultimately, when the devil fights the channels of grace, there is something he's actually targeting, which is the revelation of Christ. Because for you to be able to, for God to plug you out of a system and train you to be able to rule that system, you must have certain type of unveilings. You must have certain type of revelations. That revelation is called Christ.
Hey.
Let me explain.
Hey.
The word Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. Hey, rephrase. The anointing means God's capacity for power and his power. So, Jesus Christ, Christ is not a name, it's an office. It's a capacity. So when we talk about spiritual capacity, we talk about Christ's capacity. Scripture says, I think it's the 2 Corinthians, say, it says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. He said, but our sufficiency is of Christ. Are you listening to me? So there is a capacity that God puts in a man when he calls him, when he gives him a project, when he lays something upon your heart. I want you to start this business. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. There's a sufficiency. Because when you look at that project, you don't even know where to start. You don't have money. You don't have the idea. It's just an idea somewhere in your head. But God is saying, my daughter, I want you to do this. So scripture says, if you are, that scripture means if you are believing God is saying something to you and it's something you have resources for, you didn't get it from God. Because faith always speaks higher. The language of faith is very high. You will look at it and like, wow, how shall these things be? If God says, my son, I'm giving you the nation of Gambia as my servant and my apostle, I say, yeah, praise God. I was just thinking about that. You didn't hear God. You didn't hear God. God will always speak to you from the realm of faith. Faith is the currency of the spirit. Many people shout faith. They talk faith. They don't know how to spend faith. Because when you... you see, why I know you can't spend faith is because you don't understand stretchings. It's just like your dollar. You have $100. You leave it in your pocket. 3 weeks later, you hear the dollar rate has gone up. 500 naira. It's still the same $100. But the value in naira now will change. Why? Stretches. Time. Allowance. When you allow time to breathe upon your faith and it is still strong. When you time is not an opportunity to weaken your faith, but to stretch it and strengthen it. When you allow time, solidify your faith, not weaken it. Just because God didn't answer immediately, didn't mean the answer is not on the way. But many times, it is in the stretching that the capacity is gained. You can carry a nine inch block, two of it, and put it on your shoulder, and you are feeling the pain. After some time, that place will go numb. They say, stay there, please maintain your position. The angels are coming now, amen. They will come and support you. You shall not dash your foot against the stone. How do you sustain capacity for something that is weightier than you are. And God is just saying, just stand there, I'm coming. I have not forgotten you, my servant. For my promise to you, a yea and amen. I will come and I will do unto you the things that I have spoken, and you shall not be put to shame. I will bless you. And make, I say, can you make it quick? 25 years. 23. God will give you an opportunity to begin to doubt him. You want to stretch your faith? You want to strengthen it? You want to build your capacity? Have you seen when he also prays for the sick? It's as if he knew the person would get healed. The person is blind. He also just shows up. It's as if he already, it's as if he stage managed. Are you listening to me? It's as if he already knew that this person, this cripple will work. And you are like, hey, God, don't disappoint your servant. Then let's stretch our hands to this. See the way people will be praying. They will pray more than the man of God who wants to lay us. Hey, Father, show your glory today. Father, show your glory. Slow down. His capacity. Slow down. If the thing was not stretched in the secret, it will not manifest in the open. My time is up. And I've not even started. Know that the devil is not so much bothered about your little successes. But when he sees a man who is set to take a system, he concentrates on him. Oh, I pray that I got a car. Oh, I pray I got the most beautiful woman as my wife. Oh, I pray I got that contract. That's not the devil's problem. That's yours. That's your problem. You got to buy in here. That's one that is bothering you. But when you are ready to be a major consulting firm in Nigeria that defines values as per scripture. What did they call their name again? SA Consulting. Bring them down. Bring them down. All your arsenals. Put one useless brother that will ruin the company and steal money. Because everybody on the outside sees that this man that is starting industry everywhere, that people are saying is very nice, is very rich, he's a Muslim. He's a very generous man. If he likes you, he can give you a job. They say he's a group of companies. They tell you all that's the part you saw. The other part you didn't see is the Islamization of Nigeria. That's where the covenant is. We will continue to push this agenda, give people a perception about you that they love, that at some point everybody in one farm in this country will have one family member working for you, at least remotely or directly. And when we get to a point, people will see the way you have been blessed, the Ishmael anointing, how Ishmael has prospered. They will see it, and one day you will use your wealth to advance the cause of Islam in Nigeria. It will be too late because the people that are supposed to talk and shout are working for you. It's a long-term plan. It's 25 years and we are working gradually. The problem is that you can't see it. You're just trying to get up. When I went for interview, I was just favored. As long as that is your own area, you are not the devil's problem. But when you see somebody that sees a problem before it becomes a problem, that this is a problem before it becomes a problem, and begins to also walk ahead of time. You know, I say for you to redeem time, you have to step out of it. That means you must see a problem before it becomes a problem and begin to take steps. Yeah. It's not when the arrow has hit that you are not praying, hey, kataya. It's not the day Daniel hears that they will throw him into the lion's den. It's not praying, God of my father, God of my father, God that helped Isaac. When they were fighting for where with him, my God, you will not arise and deliver your people. We will arise, oh God. If you are praying after the arrow is in your chest, you have more to deal with. You have to step out of time to be able to redeem time. You have to be able to step out of time to redeem time. You have to be able to step out of time. The only way, the only vehicle that redeems a man from the power of time is the genuine word of God, the prophetic word of the Spirit. When God's word comes to you, it takes you out of your situation into God's realm. You can see the situation from God's realm, from his throne. So you see it outside of time. And then you can begin to plot your graph accurately. I don't know if somebody is hearing me this morning. I don't know if somebody is hearing me this morning. I hope this is not too complicated. My time is up. Oh, goodness. I hope I do this in 10 minutes. Lord, help me. Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2 and verse 8. Let's read this quickly. Psalms chapter 2 and verse 8. Give me Message Translation and King James. Psalms chapter 2. Ask of me, and I will give thee what? Now, did you see the word there is Eden? God didn't promise to give you Shola's company. He didn't promise to give. You see, what God said to Shola was a prophetic word to her. So all our systems, whatever is born of God, overcome the world. Everything bettered by God, through you, will eventually complement. This one is Eden. We have our grounds that we have covered. These are the grounds we need to cover. God calls them Eden. Ask of me, will you dare ask? Can you dare ask? Do you know what you are asking for? Are you ready for this? He said, ask of me. If you dare ask, I will give it to you. I will give you the Eden for what? Your inheritance. Whenever you show up, they'll say, this is our father. They will call you their father. That's inheritance. It is fathers that give inheritance. This thing is Christianity. Stay with me. This is David, living in Old Testament time, operating New Testament. He said, ask of me, I will give thee what? Nations. When Jesus was rising, was rising back to heaven, Matthew chapter 28, he said, go, I have ordained thee to every nation, and raise disciples. Still the same thing. He wasn't talking about believers, the Gentile nations. Ask me for the utmost part, those places that are so secure that no man can touch. He said, ask me. The problem is we are afraid of rejection. We can't stand the fear that we prayed and we didn't get a response. That 5 years from now, countries can be asking, would you like to be a citizen? Would you like to be a citizen? Like, yeah, you're like, cool down, man. It's not about being. Say, please. God wanted to make a girl a global citizen. He told her, just stand. It's one bullet to your head. One bullet to your head. One bullet to your head. Malala. Malala. Oh, is there any country where she can't get into now? Oh, all she had to do was just pose for a bullet. Out of the ashes of my brother, you will die. This kind of dominion and authority will make you turn your back to everything you have ever known, everything you have ever believed in, everything you have ever lived for, all your trainings, everything that has ever meant anything to you, you will turn your back to it if you want this kind of thing. You say, ask of me for the utmost part of the earth. I will give it to you. God doesn't mind sharing. He doesn't take anything for God to give you that thing you are seeking for. It's not running up and down. But you've got to understand the terms. God is looking for people, a body he can wear to visit the earth again. He's looking for how the world can become flesh again. He's looking for how we can touch the nations again and the mountains will begin to melt. He is not getting those type of prayer requests. There is nothing for him to work with. He will wait for 1,000,000 years till he finds that type of man. My time is up. God help me. My time is up. God help me. Time is up. God help me. Why does God want us to ask? Why is God so particular about stuff like this? Number one, God wants to influence cultures. God wants to influence cultures. And when we talk about culture, we're talking about business cultures. We are talking about political structures and cultures. We are talking about systems that have been so ingrained. Things that people don't ask questions about. That's the way it is. You understand? That's the way it is. Take it or take it. You don't even have option of leaving. You can't leave it. You have to take it. So God wants to influence cultures. He wants to have his sons arise and begin to control these things. It's not for anything except to make room for the kingdom to advance. Are you listening to me? It's not for anything. This is why God wants you to rise and be fulfilled and be blessed. And that's why I tell you, if you have a money problem, you cannot work with God in these things.
Yes.
If you are the one that is complacent, you are satisfied with where you are, you cannot work with God in these things. Because in your training on this journey, one of the things we have to face, the wells we have to dig and stand the risk of losing, is the well of money.
Yes.
And that was why God never compared himself to the devil in scripture, but he compared himself to Mammon. Because with Mammon, which is the spirit, money is the one we all see. With mammon, with money in your pocket, you don't need God. Even pray. It's you that needs to pray. I need to get to. We had a business meeting with someone 2 weeks ago. The person was saying to us after the meeting, he said, you know, if I really need to get to Canada right now, all I have to do is just call my wife in Lekki and tell her I'll see you next tomorrow. From here, I will take a cab to the airport, use my ATM, pay for my flight. My passport is already in my pocket. I have clothes there. The guy just wore t-shirt and jeans. There are certain things that when you have money, and that's why I tell you, you cannot love money. The moment you begin to love money, money is nothing other than a tool for the kingdom of God to advance its frontiers. As long as you think that the primary purpose of money is to make you feel good and not need God, your God is mammon. So you cannot be talking about taking systems. My brother, they will not write you check. They will just bring 3 or 4 suitcases. Let's not talk about that because our money is very useless here. The real guys who have the money use suitcase. They'll bring like 5 or 10 suitcases and say inside of this is contained about $500,000, $500,000, $500,000. And we just want to see how we can partner with you and work together. We believe that God is doing something in your life and they will use your language to talk to you. We believe God is doing something in your life and we believe we work together, we can make this a big deal. They will bring a Daniel and change his name. They will bring a Meshach and give. They'll bring all the sons and the royal boys and give them new names. Meshach, Abednego. They'll change their name, change their language. They're trying to incorporate them into the system so that they can benefit from what is coming. You have direct links to the presidency. You have a upline to Aso Rock. You have a upline to White House. Bro, what we are talking is leadership at an exponential level. I'm not talking all those square questions. You are making decisions for kings and kingdoms. You have everything it takes. It was the easiest thing for Daniel to forget about where he was coming from. Because he didn't even enjoy like that when he was in his own country. And the king saw something in him. I said, come, let us talk. Let us partner. We can take the nations. But everything was right except that it was advancing Babylon. Everything about what was said was right except that it was advancing Babylon. It was not the devil, Babylon. Babylon is the system that makes you able to live without your need for God. Because everything is programmed. You punch your ATM, you get cash. You pick your phone, you dial, you can call directly. There is no limitation. Science has made everything super easy. Okay, what do you need God for? Tell me. What do you need God for? Tell me now. What do you need God for? As I speak with you, there's a scientist, there's a rich man working with a scientist to reverse the death process. Did you see it online? You guys don't check. He wants to use himself as the first prototype. People will make God look like a Greek god that died. So if somebody has enough money and the only thing on his mind is how to reverse death process and put scientists on the project and they say, oh, Dr. Niyi, and we want a team of other doctors to come and help us work on this. We believe that you guys have what it takes. We work towards by 10 years, we should have the results. It looks like a project. We will come and share testimony. And we will appreciate God for you. That we have one of our sons who is taking nations. Or the nations took him. So you cannot deal with, you cannot pass this test of sitting over mountains if you have not passed the test over the exchange rate. You must not be influenced by it. As long as the exchange rate and what they do there influences you, you still need to go to school. Why does God want us to control systems? To influence culture, number 2, to advance heaven's agenda, number 3, to shut the devil out, number 4, to create an economic system that sets men free. I cannot proceed from here because of my time. I have to stay with time. Amen. Let's pick out the 5 minutes, pick out the major points. At the end of that story in Genesis chapter 26, Abimelech came back to Isaac and made a pact. Look at the words of Abimelech in verse 26. Let's start from 23. And he went up from thence to Bathsheba, that is Isaac, and the Lord appeared to him. Can you see a man that works in Revelation? You see, this issue of that being rich and not being close to God, I don't think we are getting it right. The people who are really close to God are mostly rich people. They understand the requirements better. When you see a rich man that is close to God, if your boss is born again, look at him properly. There's a way they walk with God. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night. This is a guy who watched Revelation. And God introduced himself. He knew what God was, who God was. He said, I am the God of your father. This journey I am taking with you didn't start with you. That's what God was saying. This is an agenda that we are running. And I need to introduce the agenda to you, so that you don't think we are doing anything in isolation. What I'm telling you now started before you were born. It was this same agenda that gave birth to the prophecy that brought you on the scene. You need to understand that you didn't just come simply because you didn't know who your real dad was, or because you know who your real mom was. It's irrelevant to the quest, the thing that we are talking about. I am the God of thy father Abraham. Introduction. Fear not, because God will have to tell you not to fear, because the things he will begin to show you can be mind-boggling. If God begins to tell you the kind of stuff he wants to put in your hands, you will be afraid. So God needs to tell you to calm down and fear not. I will bless you. I know right now you are putting a lot of effort and it's looking like it's not really hard enough. But when you hit the gusher, you will understand that you will need to learn, take a Bible study series in fear not. Because there are certain things the Lord will put in your hands, it will look like it's too good to be true. You will be afraid to wake up and find that it was not a dream. He said, for I am with you. In other words, God began to speak about the manifest presence of the Lord. He said, do not fear, because what runs this process and this entire agenda is my presence. The word needs to be introduced again to who I am. He said, by the name I am, by my name Jehovah, I have not been known. I want you to know me. This is my name, Jehovah. God is very big on introduction. He wants his people to know who he really is. Because if you don't understand him, you can't know why he's doing what he's doing. You will just think it's about prospering. This is not about putting money in your pocket. This is living above money. For you to be able to conquer time, you must step out of it. Hear me in the spirit. I am with thee and I will bless you. Just like the ark of God was with Obed-Edom. He said, I will bless you, I will multiply your seed. Hey! Oh. Kenny, please give me 5 minutes. Please. I'm going to touch something now. Can I do this? Give me that scripture, he gives seed to the sower. Where's that scripture? I think you should check Isaiah 55, verse 9 and 10. Isaiah 55. Look at what God said. God said, I will be with you, I will bless you, I will multiply your seed. Go to verse 9 and 10. Go to verse 9. Isaiah 55. I said Isaiah 55, verse 9 and 10. Let's take it from the root. Isaiah 55, verse 9 and 10. Quickly. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thought patterns higher than your thought patterns. Verse 10. No. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, where are they coming down from? From heaven. And do not return thither, but watereth the earth, makes it bring forth and bought, so that it may give what? Seed to the sower, bread to the eater. Every time God needs to start something with you, the first thing he will give is the first rain. The former rain. The former rain is not what you eat, it's what you sow. You didn't hear me. Go back to the other one you just read. You took us to in Corinthians. Hear me now. Many of us, God gave us an opportunity, and we took it home, shared the testimony, and ate it. Now, he that ministered, speaking of the Lord, the Spirit of God, seed to the sower, it was a ministration. God gave you seed, he gave you stuff, and you looked at it, you are seeing food. My brother, when God wants to begin to prepare you for a system, he will put certain things in your hands. Don't make the mistake of eating them. Don't sit on top of them. Because God said, I will multiply the seed. Multiplication only happens after it is sown. Look, you want to break the yoke of poverty? You want to break the yoke of, you want to step out of time and be able to manipulate time? Hear me clearly now. These are spiritual, these are not doctrines, these are spiritual operations. He said, I will bless you. He said, I will be with you. I will bless you. I will multiply your seed. I will multiply your seed. Stay with me. The moment God said that, and that's why I said I will come to altars. What was the response of Isaac? He built an altar there where the revelation came. He didn't wait to that same place where he heard the voice. He raised, he structured an altar. And I will come to that some of these days. And called upon the name of the Lord. Every time God speaks to you, it's not the time to walk away and begin to feel cool. It is time to enter into prayers. Because while the revelation is still very hot, massage it. Hold it close. You bring that revelation. Don't let it cool down on you. You hold it. As it's coming, just grab it. Because you need to create an atmosphere for that seed to be able to grow. The seed will prosper. Oh, I don't know if I'm talking to somebody here. Do you know what happened to Isaac? The moment he built that altar, he relocated his house. He came to pitch his tent there. The Bible said he came in verse 25. He called upon the name of the Lord and now pitched his tent. Now here go they stay. He had received the word. Whatever he did with that word will affect his family. Whatever he did with that word will affect people in Nigeria. Because the Lord, the Savior, will eventually come from him. He understands the importance of instruction, the consequence of his actions. He will not allow anything. He will never allow his wife to begin to tell him one thing. He just moved out of the house and came and pitched with the prophecy. These are things you learn in the place of prayer. When you receive a word, you incubate upon it. You incubate many times, you don't even know what to do. You just stay on it. Father, you have said so. Father, I believe you. I don't know how you are going to do it. Mandeli kanduro bahasiha. Yendre shatele. He pitched his tent to the prophecy. If there was nothing on the outside that suggested something will happen now, but I will take my chances with God. I know they said my wife is barren, but I will take my chances with God. I don't know what I am going to do after now, but I will take my chances with you. I have no man to help me. Get some water from the well. But I will take my chances with you. I know they said I'm stranded. I know they said I'm going to lose my license. I know I have nowhere to move. I can't even get myself from Ikodu to Keto. But I will take my chances with you. I will build my tent with you. I know they raised a case against me. But I will build my tent with you. I'm going to move my house out of that place of comfort. I'm going to tabernacle with your prophecy. I will take my chances with you. I look at the future. I can't say what I'm seeing is sure, but I will take my chances with you. I would rather fail in this than to succeed on the other side. I will take my chances with you, because you said to me, you are going to make room for me. You named me and called me Rehoboth. Yes, I will take my chances with you.
The guy received the prophecy. He didn't pose with it. He retreated with it. He owned it. You have to learn how to make the prophecy yours. Make it yours. Then it, you will put your name in the prophecy. Make it yours. Make it yours. Make it yours. And then begin to breathe upon it. Breathe upon it. You will need those seasons of aloneness, sir, where you can breathe upon it. Because the impact of that decision, years after, we are still here today because Isaac got it right. He received the word. He received the word. He retreated with it. He built an altar. He built an altar. Embarada Kalisa. Embrasa Fatalida. Embrasa Talida. Send fire on this altar. Send fire. You will look stupid. Stay stupid. Yen kataladaba. Embrata kata. After he realized the pain would take, he just moved his things out of the house. Came and stayed there. Ye kaladaba. Today we go die. Embarakata. Don't know how long this is gonna take. Embrakata kaza. He built his altar. He built his tent there. Hey! There was an announcement in the spirit chain. Abimelech that fought with him saw something in the spirit chain. Ah, what is this? Eh? This is a change of government, though. It had not manifested in the natural, but somebody had seen it. My brother, don't deceive yourself. Don't think the devil doesn't know what is going on. Don't deceive yourself. You will be the last to hear. The people that are on the other side, they will see your star in the sky. They will know that a savior has been born. They will know that it's a season of change for somebody. Don't fool yourself. You may not be seeing any sign. Somebody on the other side is seeing something. Abimelech sent him away, but Abimelech got up. I see something, and went to look for Isaac. Abimelech was a king. King don't look for people. But when a king sees something that makes him leave his palace, my brother, don't commonize what is at work in you. Don't commonize what. Do you know what I'm talking about here? Abimelech saw his kingdom is about to be taken away. Without coup, without fight, the kingdom will move together. Just because one man heard the word, built a tent around it. See, the motivation for his prayer is not emotional. It's a leadership decision. Hey, are you hearing me? When you get, you see, because emotion is like petrol, it burns fast. Yeah, we don't need those kind of fuel. But when you want to burn paper, you pour water. You need more fire to burn. You need more fire to burn. You need more fire to burn. This is a leadership business decision that needs to be made. Isaac moved out. It's not time to sleep with your wife. He moved out. He moved out. He moved out. He moved out. Go and check people who are rich and have what it takes. They have rooms in their mansion people don't go to. Go and check. They have prayer rooms. They have altars. This thing is not my mind. Hear me. It's not my mind. Whatever that king saw, whatever he saw that even Isaac had not seen, he was only operating by faith, trusting that God is faithful to do his word. And yet you are about to give up. Yet there's already an announcement in the spirit concerning you. And you are here already giving up. I'm here. I don't know what's going on. Hey! Not on my head. Abimelech saw it and brought one of his friends and the captain of his army. Look at the people he brought. Because every takeover, military is involved, military action is involved. He brought the captain of the army. He said, wherefore are you coming to look for me now? Shebi, you hate me. That's verse 27. Shebi, you sent me away. That's our own version, New Testament, Nigeria. Look at what he said in verse 28. And we saw certainly that what? Where did he see? You sent him away. Where did you see? I told you, I said someone saw something. You are commonizing your secret experiences with God. You are commonizing something. Look at this man. Look at this man. Look at this man. I said God is doing something in your life, but the person commonizing it is the person I'm looking at. The king has sent him away since how many years? They say we saw. How? Somebody has eyes that you can't see. He says we saw that the Lord was with him. What did God promise? He said, I will be with you. They started seeing the first signs of that prophecy. Even Isaac did not see it. But the king saw it. Because from his own position in the spirit, he could see certain things. Even even if he was not a godly king, but he could see certain things. He saw that the Lord was with him. Please let us make a covenant. This is beyond money. This one, by this time, Isaac has given up. You think the altar was just like that? Every day, offering sacrifices. I present to you this offering. My God and my King, Galida Hasaina. Every morning, the Bible talks about the morning and the evening sacrifice. Every day, he will not come on that altar just like that. He pitched his tent there. He will give a sacrifice. He will give a sacrifice. In those days, animals were the things that were used. He will come on the altar. The value of one sacrifice, 500,000. There is no way Isaac could make sense to any man. He has to move out of the house. Because one day he will sacrifice all the animals. Why would say, ah, you have killed us, no food in this house again. No. You sacrifice everything. No. This man, I knew from the day I married that I'm going to suffer in your house. Because you're always sharing strange verses. Strange verses. The last goat again, you have killed it. And you say we can't eat inside. How are we going to survive like this? You are the only one hearing these voices. My brother, when you begin to hit this dimension, my brother, you will keep your circle very close. Very small. Very small. Very small. Because not everybody will understand your madness. So Isaac will come in the morning. 100,000. Every prophetic word over my life. He will incubate the birth of Jesus Christ, that prophecy. He could have chosen to use that ram and whatever to grow his business. But now say, give seed to the sower. It is wisdom for you to know what is bread and what is seed. If you make a mistake, hey! The king said, let us sign covenant. The guy had not left the tent. He wasn't amassing any secret army. He was just there in the place of his covenant. They saw something. They thought the army had gathered. They came to make covenant. Don't fight us. Don't fight us. Don't fight. The guy had not left the place. Somebody in the spirit chamber already got the signal. Stop kidding yourself. You've got to wake up. You've got to wake up. Everything you see on this side of eternity is spiritually manipulated. Don't fool yourself. He said, let's make a covenant that you will not harm us. Because you know we didn't touch you. That day, actually, we told you to go, but we didn't touch you. So you too, don't touch us. Stay your side. Let us stay our side. When a man says, please the Lord, even Satan makes peace with him. Because a man that his ways pleases with God, pleases God, is a man of faith. Say, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So when a man walks by faith, he doesn't walk by sight. He doesn't walk by what's in his bank account. He's stronger than the bank account. Are you hearing me? He's stronger than his bank account. That is just money. We are talking about faith. The currency of the spirit. The currency of the spirit with which we negotiate the faith of nations. So now faith is. Faith is a now thing. Faith crashes future, past, present into one time zone. Now faith is. Now faith is. Now faith is. Hear me in the spirit. See, he said, and have sent thee away in peace, that thou art now blessed of the Lord. And he made a feast for them. He gave their food to eat. And they sit down and eat. And they ate and drank. And they rose up in the morning and swore one to another. My brother, my sister, you want to take mountains, you must understand covenant. The power of entering into covenant it was. Because if they had finished that food and they walked away like that, and Isaac did not say, Isaina Malani Hekumra, the strength of this covenant that I now walk in. He was speaking from his new priesthood. If he did not speak from that level of priesthood that he had entered into in Gera, nothing has happened. So, Mahisai, Nalanu Mosofedia, I put a stop to the warfare, to your warfare. He was speaking from his own priesthood that you will not have any hurt coming from me. Isaac blessed a king. Isaac blessed a king because he understood covenant with God. He could now initiate covenants with men. Because he was in covenant with God, he could now initiate covenants with men. Men who are kings. Men who have the faith of other millions in their hands. One man sat alone in Gera and was initiating covenants for this people. One man. Willing vessel in the hands of God. Stronger than nations. One man. Willing vessel in the hands of God. Stronger than nations. One man, a willing vessel, in the hands of God, stronger than nations. Ask of me, and I will give to you the nations for your possessions. There's one man I know in our time who touched this dimension of leadership so strongly, it is by its moral. Hear me. If there's one man I know that touched this level of dominion, it was my Smuro. He was able to take spiritual truth and he could write a prophet and convert it in such a way that even kings could take it from him. Unbelievers read his books. He trains presidents. He's a consultant to United Nations. He's an ambassador. He has presidents in his church. And it is this same Bible he's reading to them. And he's not adulterating the word of God. Psalm 67. I want you to take this scripture, read it when you get to meditate. Let the Lord speak to you. God be merciful to us and you bless us. Cause your face to shine upon us, so that your ways may be known in the earth. Are you seeing something? Let me read it again. God be merciful to us, bless us, cause your face to shine upon us, so that your ways may be known in the earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you will judge the people righteously, and you will govern the nations of the earth. He will do it through you. Let the people praise thee. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth eat and increase. And God, even our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And all the ends of the earth, they shall fear him. They shall fear our God. They shall fear our God because of your sonship. Because it is for these that the sons of God are manifested. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we receive our training. We declare we are entering into a season of training. You begin to show the way of the eagle in the air. You begin to show the path of the spirit. You begin to teach us of your ways so that we can praise you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
We know you've been blessed with these words, so you can as well visit us. Plot 223 beside Bode Emmanuel Center, Satellite Bus Stop, Ikodu Road, Ilupeju, Lagos. You can also log on to our website at www.theharvestword.org. Contact us for counseling 080-8317-8191. God bless you.